again for us, so thank you. Are we getting ready for the public hearing currently? And while we're doing that, I want to recognize and welcome Representative Goodwin to our meeting. Thanks for coming down and seeing us. All right, at this time, we will go into the public hearing.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, John Katilnik, Staff Attorney, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. Just to remind everyone out there, now is the portion of our commission meeting where we conduct the public hearing. Following the public hearing, we will have an open forum. So the public hearing portion of the meeting is meant for individuals to comment on rule finalizations, and that's items 10 through 13. Currently, I do not have anyone signed up to comment on any of the finalizations. Is there anyone either in the room or online that wishes to speak on any of the finalizations? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that would conclude the public hearing as there were no public comments on items 10 through 13 of the finalization package. So with that, we would move into the open forum portion of the meeting. The first individual I have listed, signed up, is Mr. John Hopple. Again, I just remind our testifiers that you have 3 minutes, and again, please just identify your name and where you're from. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Secretary, Chairman Sharp, and Commissioners. It's good to be back doing this in person again, so I think it's long overdue. So, my name is John Hopple. I'm the president of the South Dakota Trappers Association. I'm here to kind of give you guys some feedback on the bounty program and the ethics program. The South Dakota Trappers Association maintains 5 booths at Dakota Territory Gun Shows, and we have a booth at the Black Hill Stock Show. This year, we signed up over 60 youths to the Trappers Association. That is an amazing number for us. All of these kids had one thing in common. They were either part of the bounty program or they're members of the ethics program and the 4-H clubs. So I just want to let you guys know that these programs are making a difference out there. And almost to every one of these kids, their brothers and sisters were participating, their families were participating. So the programs is having a positive impact in getting folks outside. And I just want to thank you guys for continuing these programs on here. I'm not sure if there'll be a bounty program next year or not. Hopefully there is. If there is not a bounty program next year, I would like to give serious consideration to the thought of maybe taking the funds that are being used for that, reallocating that to the ethics program. Currently, we're working with 4-H and Game Fish and Parks. We're in 13 counties right now with the ethics program, but there is a waiting list. That's how popular this is, of counties that want to participate in the ethics program. And I think that's a good problem to have. More people want to participate than we can actually support. So, you all have an open invitation to attend our fall convention. This year it'll be September 9th and 10th at Winter. And we are serious on youth education. I've already reached out to the school system down there, and all 375 members of their elementary school are going to come to our convention, and we're going to teach them a little bit about furs and what animals are in South Dakota. Any questions? I'm here to answer them.
No, thank you, Mr. Hopple, for you and your association's efforts. Commissioner Bees. Oh, Mr. Locken.
I probably interrupted you, Chairman. I was just going to say thanks for the input. We need to hear that. So we'll be looking at the future years and appreciate the information.
Yeah. We were surprised at the amount of youths that came to our booth, not because we had flashy things, but because they had participated in these programs and they wanted more information on how they could expand their education on that. So thank you.
No, well done. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual I have signed up is Bill Paulton from Edgemont, South Dakota.
Mr. Secretary and members of the Commission, thank you for this opportunity. I'm here to talk to you about our elk problem. I've talked to a number of you before about it, and it's hard to cover it in 3 minutes. We were there before the elk. The elk have come in the numbers have been constantly increasing. It's been impacting us, our ranch, more and more every year. And we have documentation of 500 head of elk on one part of the ranch at one time. We've got other areas with other fields scattered out. At the same time, there were elk in every field. So they've been impacting our hay production dramatically. I have some numbers on a little spreadsheet. I do have a thumb drive if anybody wants to put it on the screen, or I can leave this. Too much stuff in my pocket. So we try to manage our hay, our ground, our hay production so that we get some, and we have the cows fenced out so they can't get in there. The elk have no respect for the fences, and of course they are in there eating the new growth throughout the, and then they continue throughout the season. And when it comes to mature crops, why? Yeah, that's there's only one of each there, so you have to make some copies. But not only it's what they eat as a you get a mature crop, it's what they knock down, paw up, all of that too. And so I've tried to. These are some pictures, just some photographs here. You can just kind of go through them. Damage to fences. Now there's, you can see this long string of elk out there in the background in the, at the foot of the mountain. They're hard to see. It's right in the yard, ranch yard, right by the corrals. Hay yard damage. We have some old hay yards. We had a couple get broke down this year. Those are hay yards that have been in service for over 20 years and need replaced.
What, you have 1 minute remaining?
Okay. Anyway, I tried to put some numbers to this. My son actually worked on this. If you figure an annual cow income, selling a calf at $950, and break, and then use some numbers of what the Game Fish and Parks numbers are, that a elk is 0.48 of a cow. So about two elk equals one cow as far as the feed that they eat. And so we put some numbers together. This year, with hay costing $225 a ton laid in, it's very expensive. Now, you can consider that our loss of hay production, and we have to replace that hay. So I'm asking for some help. You've had some programs that do help a little, but they're not near enough. And what I think we should do is I'll leave you this, and you can make copies so you can all look at it. And we've had a good relationship with your staff, and they've been trying to help, but I don't think they have enough tools. Another thing that we really need to do is get rid of some numbers. An August cow season, something we need, get rid of a bunch of them. Any questions?
Any questions?
I do. Mr. Pullman? I have a question.
Mr. Rissler.
Thank you for being here. You mentioned some of the help that the GFMP has done thus far. What has that been?
Okay, the food plot program is designed to go directly to offset the feed loss that we have in our hay ground and in our crops. And that's a good program, but it only goes, maybe it might cover about 50 elk or something like that, but when we have hundreds of them, we're not getting near enough. The stackyard program has been a success. It protects our harvested feed. The fencing contract helps with fencing costs due to all the damage to the fences. That's been successful. Any other questions?
Commissioner Spring.
Now, these up mostly on your place, when you're talking 500 at one time, is that pretty much year round, or is it mainly during the growing season?
It varies. It definitely during the growing season, but you could consider that growing season starts in April, depending on the year, early April, and goes maybe through October. We end up having on a typical year, you'll have a little bit of fall moisture. It regreens up those fields, and then if they've left, they'll come back in, or they're there throughout the whole time.
What unit is your land
at? I need some help on that. It's
27
way out on the west edge of Custer County is where we're located. Anything else? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I just hope we can get more elk.
Well, I would like to have you look at these numbers so you can kind of see what kind of an impact it has. I'm blessed that my kids want to stay on the ranch, and they're raising grandkids that want to be on the ranch, and it boils down to economics for us. We're not against elk, but it's impacting our livelihood.
Hey? Time to make this presentation today. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next individual I have signed up is Representative Tim Goodwin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Commissioner Sharp, you're moving up in the world. That's good. You're the chair now. Good for you. We're homeboys. We're both from Watertown. Commissioners and also Secretary Robling, just want to come and welcome you to District 30, the most beautiful district in the whole state. I'm really blessed to be here, to be able to represent this district. It's Fauver County, Custer County, and the nice parts of Pennington County, which is the rural part. I just want to talk a little bit about the gruesome session that we just went through. I couldn't be more proud and couldn't say that nobody tried harder than Representative Secretary Robling and Tom and Scott, and I think John Kant is sitting back there someplace. I mean, it was a grueling session. I mean, it was grueling. Those guys were there every day. We started out with the campgrounds in Custer State Park and got killed. And actually, we came up with an amendment at the very end where we were going to have just tent camping, which made everybody happy. But it had too much momentum to even get to anybody where they could even think with common sense and try to figure out how to get something done. So we ran into a really bad situation there. And the other one that I'm really apologetic on is we didn't get that rifle range 9 miles north of the Flying J. That should have went through. That was just everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. But I just want to tell everybody on the commission it isn't because of Secretary Robling and his staff, because they killed themselves. I mean, I was worried about his well-being. I even went and talked to the governor. I said, it's not his fault, man. He's trying. It's us guys. It's the ones in the house that were the jerks on it. It wasn't, and it was. I mean, it was terrible. If you'd have been there, Julie, you'd have been embarrassed. I mean, it was, you know, not like when you and I were there together, I'm telling you. So I just wanted to say I apologize for that. But the good news is we have elections coming here on June 7th and then the general election, but most of the elections are, because the Republican state is June 7th. And there's going to be a huge turnover. And if good Lord willing and the creek doesn't rise, I'll be in the Senate, so maybe we can get some stuff done. And so maybe we could, Kevin and I, we can talk. We can bring some of that stuff back. I just want to just end here and talk about a couple things quick. Bill Paulton's a constituent of mine, and he kind of soft-shoot it about what he has on his land, but he has 500 elk on one portion. He has other portions, and I was trying to get him to say, well, how many elk do you have? Just let's not talk about one pasture. Let's talk about the whole place. And it's over 1,000 sometime. And so there's got to be some system for a rancher that's feeding 1,000 elk. I mean, there's no way he can keep going. You know, I don't know what that equates to a cow if it's 2-1, but if it's 500 cattle, that's huge. And to expect him to have that on his back. So if there's anything you guys could do, if you have maybe an early cow season of 150 or something, and because once the season starts, they'll move up into the woods. And I don't know what happened. The biologist can explain it better than I can, but those fires we've had, you know, back in there, I think they changed the ecosystem because that whole area has changed. The big fire we had, I don't know, it's probably 12 years ago or longer, and then the one they had at Elk Mountain, I think, has changed the way the elk migrate. So it's a new phenomenon, but it's great that we have a lot of elk, but one rancher shouldn't have to be feeding 1,000 of them. And the last thing is the greatest season that's in South Dakota. Does anybody know what that is? Any guesses? It's not pheasants. Lion season. And so I really appreciate, Commission, I was instrumental in 99 coming here and trying to get that lion season started. I remember when they told me there was only one or two lions in the Black Hills and it wasn't enough to sustain it. That was in 99. In 2005, we had 15 lions. And I remember the guy that had Tom Kirschman's job, George Vandell, said, well, you might get one lion by happenstance, but you'll never shoot two. And I think that 15, what was it done in 5 days, the season was over. And so that's been a real success. Of course, the numbers were a little low this year at 42, but that's because we didn't have hardly any snow. Snow determines how many lions you kill. The year that we had really good snow, we had 75 and had actually went over a couple. So outside of that, unless anybody has any questions of me, I'm your biggest fan. I think I'm proud of Game Fishing Parks. I think we got the greatest Game Fishing Parks in the nation. Wouldn't trade it for anything, and I love living in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And I'll reiterate again, I live a mile behind the old gun range in Watertown, half a mile behind it in my back pasture where my grandkids ride horses, and there was never a noise issue, a safety issue, or anything along those lines. My wife and I could sit out in our driveway, again, a mile behind the gun range, and if it was perfectly still, you might hear some noise, but if we were talking, you wouldn't hear the guns going off over there. That's within a mile, and we did that for about 17 years. So that's just information.
We needed you to testify a couple times last year. That would have helped.
As you say, sometimes the momentum is too big to overcome.
It was.
So thank you again for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next person I have on the list is Stephen Humphreys from Pringle, South Dakota.
Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. I don't take this time lightly. Just briefly to tell you about myself, I live just a few miles outside southwest corner of the park, and I have 156 acres either leased or owned myself. I've spent the last few years basically renovating my pasture. I've been selling hay, but basically fences, a nice thistle problem that I think I'm ahead of, but I'm not sure yet. But nonetheless, I've run cow-calf operations before, and I've had sheep raised feeder lambs before, neither of which in this location, but I'm contemplating one or the other here shortly. I preface what I'm going to say with those comments to let you know that I am overrun with mountain lions. It's ironic that the representative spoke toward, about the mountain lion season and how few there are. I hunted probably 8 or 10 times. Each time there was a snow, and again, not a lot of snow this year. But each time I hunted, it was no difficulty at all to get on a set of tracks. Several times I got on a set of tracks right outside my door. I had tracks 40 yards from my stables, just right around the corner of the house. I'm not having to go any distance at all to get on tracks. Now, granted, I'm not a young man anymore. I might think I am, but I can't go that 10 or 15 miles to track that cat. I can do 5, 6, or 8, but in order for me to get a lion or to lessen the lion population that's currently existing, again, I understand it may be a regional thing, but I would like for you all to consider some other options besides simply a tracking method of or tracking and calling method of hunting lions. I don't know if that's hounds, as is allowed here in the park. I don't know if that's nighttime hunting, as you currently allow on private property with night vision or thermal. I'm not the biologist, obviously, but I'm just here to give you another piece of that mountain lion puzzle, and that's to tell you that where I am at, we are overrun with them. It's several times, two or three different times, I'd be tracking a lion and then come into a multiple sets of lines, 3 or 4 tracks in one spot, and not able to figure out the one I'm on. So basically, since I can only hunt a single track, that ends my hunt. Well, there's lions everywhere, but I can't pick out that one, and I'm not supposed to be hunting multiple tracks. So Just something I wanted you to consider and hear from somebody who's out there. Again, I'm probably leaning towards the sheep, perhaps, and I know mountain lion and sheep don't mix well, but it may be cow-calf. But either way, I don't want to have to deal with mountain lions. There may be some of you may be ranchers. You know how hard it is to pencil out a profit as it is. And if I have to continue to, you know, to deal with the mountain lion issue as well, again, I'm just hesitant to do that. So just some comments from somebody that's out there that's got ground and is covered up in lions. I guess the takeaway for me to leave you with, don't simply rely on that harvest number to determine whether or not we have lions. There are a lot of lions, at least in the area where I live. And I'd be glad to answer any questions either now or I'll be around through the break if there's any assistance I can provide.
All right. Any questions from Mr. Humphreys? I see none. Thank you. Thank you. And have you reached out to staff on this?
I have not. I thought I might be able to do some good reaching out with my firearm, but that hasn't worked so well so far.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Chair, the next individual I've signed up is Jim Joint from Custer, South Dakota.
Thank you, Commissioners, for your time. I'm a neighbor of Steve's, and I've been in the area for 20 years, and we have a unique situation there. I believe that, you know, when Deadwood gets 10 inches of snow, Custer gets 5, we get 1. And usually when we try to track a lion, by the next day, you'll usually go for quite a few miles. The southern slopes are gone, and they get in, and we lose them. So we have a very high population of lions in our areas. I would say the area that Steve and I hunt is 50 square miles, 5 by 10, and I believe there's 10 lions in there right now. And I have reached out to the game warden in our unit one time. I took a ride from my house, about an 8-9 mile ride. I counted 10 different tracks counting the road first morning. And I called him and said, hey, you need to come take a ride with me and see what's happening here. And he said, well, that's good for you. Get a lion. I said, yeah, but it's not good for the deer and elk. And by saying that, since the deer and the turkeys more so, they're tough getting elk, but we got one in our neighborhood. We call him Elk Killer because he kills elk. But I reached out to the warden, and he said that, you know, that was, you know, get after him, you know, which me and my friends have killed a dozen of them tracking them. I'm 68 myself, and so it's getting tougher for me to track them. And so, you know, I'm with Steve there. We need to do something different to alleviate that problem. I reached out to Christy Noem. I wrote her a letter. She had the biologist in Rapid get a hold of me. I believe his name's Trent. I don't know if he's here. He told me some figures that he thought that there were roughly 384 lions last year in the hills, and with the numbers of population, it would put it at 600. If you do the math and you look at the science, they eat a deer a week. Conservatively, the big ones might eat two. That's 31,200 deer in 1 year they will eat. And I know there's some turkeys and stuff involved in that, so it's going to... But he told me that in the bad winter of 19, which we didn't realize down there, that our whitetail herd went from 75,000 to 45,000. So if you look at those numbers and you realize they're going to eat around 31,000 deer from now until next year, our deer numbers are going to, and I have seen it. That's my biggest reason for being here. When I bought my place in 2003, it was just a paradise for deer and turkeys and that. And I used to take my kids to school from Custer to my house. We would count deer and see about 400 on a 15-mile drive. We'd count them, you know, game kids play. You play with your kids, you know. And now you do that same drive in the same season, you'll see 40 or 50. Our numbers have drastically declined. Any of the sportsmen around where we live will tell you that it's drastically affected the deer population. And one more thing, I ran into a biologist. He got stuck behind my house one day, and he came and asked to use my phone. He couldn't get anybody. I ended up pulling him out. Well, he was in charge of radio tracking the lions with collars on them. And he'd watched their progress, and whenever they...
You have 30 seconds left?
Whenever they had a kill. Anyways, he told me that 90% of the kills are mature bucks. I've noticed our population of big bucks going down, and the general population is way down, at least 50%. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that up. So,
no, thank you for that additional, you know, conversation on that area. So it looks like there might be an area of opportunity, and I'm sure staff will, the department will be reaching out to you.
Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the next individual I have signed up is Ms. Nancy Hilding, who is online, I believe.
Yeah, hi. I'll be quick. If you guys do not have the tools or capability when a PowerPoint is being shown to screen share it with those of us who are listening remotely, I think your camera can swing around the whole room. So could you swing the camera around to the screen in the back or wherever the screen is, so we could at least semi-see what is being shown? And if you could make a clear reference, to, you know, the speaker on the turkey issue said it was in the turkey plan. Well, I went online to try to find that. There was a turkey management plan and a turkey action plan. So, you know, if you're going to reference that, we can find this someplace else. You know, I didn't know which document I was supposed to be looking at. So the question is, if you don't screen share it, please zoom the camera around so we can see the slideshow. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Nancy.
Is there anyone else in the room who has not signed up that would wish to speak during the open forum? Is there anyone online who wishes to speak in the open forum? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that concludes the open forum portion of this meeting.
All right. Thank you.